Hello, hello. Welcome to a very special episode of the Game Informer Show podcast. My name is Brian Shea. I'm filling in for the regular host of this show, Ben Hansen. He's out and about exploring the world. So we're going to grab two prominent developers from Infinity Ward, the team that is developing Call of Duty Modern Warfare. They're going to come on and answer community questions from YouTube, Twitter, and GameInformer.com. In just a moment, we'll be joined by Studio Narrative Director Taylor Kurosaki and Multiplayer Design Director Joe Seacott. So without further ado, let's get your questions. Taylor and Joe, welcome to the Game Informer Show podcast. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Doing great.
Happy to be here.
Thanks for having us.
So it's been a little bit since I've been at the Infinity Ward Studios. How is development coming on Call of Duty Modern Warfare?
It's going really well. It's been quite a roller coaster lately with the reveal, the alpha, the beta, and Taylor locking SP.
Yeah. It's actually gone really smoothly. Game development is sort of a slow motion train wreck most of the time. And this has been a very, very controlled slow motion train wreck.
Well, I guess that's the best you can ask for.
Premeditated.
So, I mean, we have a ton of community emails or questions from social media and our website and YouTube. So I guess we'll just jump right in. So I guess a good place to start, Cyrical on Twitter asks, how does the process begin on making a Call of Duty game?
That's a good question.
I mean, for this one, I think the big process was what sort of branch of the Call of Duty tree did we want to make a game in? And for us, it was really early. It was while we were still finishing Infinite Warfare that we kind of started talking about, well, maybe the time is right to bring Modern Warfare back. And so for us, I think it was really exciting for a lot of guys, not for me, but for Joe and these guys, it was kind of like going home again. And for me, it was getting to work on a sub franchise that I've loved for years and years.
Yeah. And just we didn't there was almost no question. Right. So with this project, we just started. You know, where there wasn't as much prototyping in this direction and this direction that we choose. And so that really helped us on this project, though.
So did Modern Warfare Remastered hitting at the same time as Infinite Warfare kind of inspire the decision to go back to the Modern Warfare brand or kind of like reignite the spark?
I don't think so. I feel like we felt enough time had passed from Modern Warfare and it was time to go back, right? And then, I don't know, on your side, Taylor, the kind of inspiration to reimagine the brand and then things just started rolling.
Yeah, we've always used Modern Warfare, the original trilogy, as a touchstone, you know, throughout development. I mean, we all know that those three games are beloved, and they're beloved by the fans and by us as developers. So we've always referenced missions in Modern Warfare and talked about things in those terms. And so it had nothing to do with the remaster. It's always Modern Warfare has always been like alive for us in the studio, and it like Joe said, it felt like it was time. You know, enough time had passed from the end of Modern Warfare 3 that it felt like the world had changed in some significant ways, that it felt like there was new fertile ground for us to explore.
Mm-hmm. All right, and that kind of leads perfectly into the next question, which is from Venomized in the GI comments. I just wanted to know how much it meant for you guys to bring back such a memorable franchise and whether you felt nervous about a soft reboot of a franchise that ended in a trilogy with amazing characters and a great storyline. Did you guys feel nervous at any point in the production?
I wouldn't call it nervous. I would call it that we felt a sense of responsibility. Anytime you get the opportunity to work on something as beloved as Modern Warfare, you feel it's an honor, honestly. It's you know, I've been in the industry for a really long time, and the one thing that I believe very firmly is that you can't count on your opportunities, that we are all very lucky to be working in this incredibly amazing industry, and things can be unpredictable, and you never know, you know, what you're going to get to work on, have the opportunity to work on. And so for me, this is the opportunity of my career to be able to take a thing that people love as much as Modern Warfare and love as much as those characters, and kind of add to that rich kind of catalog is just awesome. So it wasn't nerves, but it was like, you know, it was just, again, that responsibility of being stewards of this series was an incredible opportunity.
I was a little nervous.
What were you nervous about?
From a multiplayer side, going back to, you know, Infinite Warfare, we went in a very different direction and opened up design possibilities. And then when you go back to modern, you're like, okay, early on, you're like, okay, what do we do? What do we do that hasn't been done? And it really was like a challenge early on to kind of like incrementally change and polish and add. And you get to this point of the game is a sum of its parts. And you start to feel like, oh, yeah, we did it. But it's not clear at the start, right? The results aren't there. So it definitely felt that.
Sure.
That's cool.
So Robert McDonald in the GI comments says, one of my favorite parts of Infinite Warfare's campaign is its characters. How has the experience been this time around directing and using actors' input to mold the campaign in Modern Warfare?
Throughout my career anyway, I've always been a big proponent of creating characters and bringing them to life, and writing them even is a collaborative process. It's collaborative from everyone from the designers of the missions to the narrative team to the sort of the canon of the characters, and then of course the actors themselves. I never dictate that words are adhered to specifically, that the script is some sort of a gospel or anything like that. It is a collaborative process. And what's really lucky about making games versus, let's say, making a movie is it's iterative. The missions are being developed alongside the narrative being sort of, we're in production on the narrative as the missions are being developed. So you can't get too far ahead of yourself. We have a roadmap that we lay out in the beginning, and we know what our beats are and we know what the general flow of the story is. Mm-hmm. But as missions develop and as the fun is found, so to speak, subtleties of the narrative change. And because of that, what it allows you to do is, again, we have an outline, but we haven't written the exact words of every single script before we start. So we do some shoots. We get to know what the characters' voices sound like, what these particular actors playing these roles sound like. And now as we write subsequent scenes and subsequent sequences, we have the sound of their voice in our heads as we write. So the characters are morphing and growing as the actors are getting more and more comfortable with them. And by the end, it feels like you've created something that is different than maybe what you had in your head to begin with. So it's fun. It's collaborative. I mean, game development is collaborative by its very nature. I mean, there's 350 people, or give or take, here at Infinity Ward working on this thing. It has to be collaborative. It's not one person's idea or just a handful of people's ideas. It's the whole team, and that extends to the cast as well.
Sure. And then Tom was like, in the GI comments, says, having former Naughty Dog devs on the team is a big effing deal. Do you think the story of this Modern Warfare campaign reflects that pedigree at all?
I do. I think that we've got a bunch of guys on the team that come from Naughty Dog, and we have this sort of narrative / design philosophy that we've been kind of honing in on and working towards and evolving throughout the years. And those same principles of storytelling in an interactive medium pertain to Call of Duty just as much as they pertain to a third person action adventure. For us, the key thing, no matter what kind of a game you're making, is number one, you have to have a sense of pressure to put onto characters. That pressure reveals the true nature of the characters. And so for a game like Modern Warfare, the source of pressure is war. You know, what's a better source of pressure than life and death and warfare? So that you know, and maybe on some of the other games we worked on, the sources of pressure were other things that we had to sort of create and invent, and we don't have to do that here, which is really nice. And then the second thing that we look forward for is always having the emotional state of our players be in sync with the emotional state of the characters that they are controlling. You know, if I'm playing as a soldier and I'm in his shoes, I have to feel the same sense of peril and the same sense of stakes that that character feels. And when those two things are in sync, that's when the controller sort of disappears and you just feel like you are this person in this world. And that's what we're trying to achieve. So that's been true back in the old days as we were kind of beginning to use motion capture and those kinds of things. And it still holds true today.
Mm. So Chase Halverson in the GI comments asks, how did working with actual Tier 1 operators help shape the narrative of this game, if at all? Did they share any real-life stories that helped make that made it into the game? I'm curious what that relationship was like between the devs and the military advisors who helped during development.
I think Joe and I can both speak to this. Yeah. Our Tier 1 operators, our consultants, are integral to everything that we do here. We want to make a thing that rings true for them, that doesn't devalue their own experiences of being in the field. And it has, that partnership has led to not only narrative discoveries about themes, and those themes would be something like, if I am an operator that works in the military today, the sort of the dilemma that I face is having to operate perfectly in imperfect situations with imperfect intel. And that is the burden that these guys carry. And they've said this to us time and time again. You know, I asked some of our SEALs one day, I said, so you just look at guys that are that have guns. If someone has a gun, then you know they're a bad guy. And they're like, no, not over there, man. Everybody has guns. That has nothing to do with whether you're a bad guy or a good guy. It's much more subtle than that. It's about, is someone lingering? Is someone on a cell phone? Is someone trying to take a high position near you? Those are those sort of actions of hostile intent. That's what we have to try to read. And what we ended up doing in the game is taking those concepts and making gameplay out of it.
Yeah. Well, we did a bunch of that. I mean, they affect everything, not just, you know, our narrative, but like our feel, a character's personalities, movement, body movements, how they move through a space, how our AI move, big on how our weapons feel, how you control a weapon, how you operate a weapon, the difference between someone who knows how to do it and doesn't know how to do it. And we, I don't know, we built this whole game on kind of this mantra of, you know, authentic, gritty, fun. Mm-hmm. And they bring in the authenticity. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that made the early Modern Warfare feel so good is they were these fun, really, really fun games that were had this layer of authenticity that you could relate to. And we're really, I think, hitting our stride on that. And the Steels have helped us with that a ton.
Yeah.
Great. And this is one of the most requested questions on all of our social media sites. But I'm going to go with Ricky139 on YouTube. When are you going to show us campaign and Spec Ops gameplay?
Yeah, come on, Taylor.
I knew that was the question. I hear it. I hear it, guys. I know that everyone is hungry for it, and we are hungry to share it with you. When we are promoting and explaining to all of our fans just what Modern Warfare is, just what you're going to get sort of in the box, it's a measured and planned rollout. And we want to communicate. We can't just like throw everything against the wall and leave it up to the fans and the players to just kind of parse through it. It's a you know, we just had an alpha, 48 hours ago, we turned off an alpha.
Yeah.
So that was the beat that we were talking about then.
Yeah.
We have a beta that's coming up in a couple weeks. So it's all about messaging the different components of the game at the right time.
Yeah.
And campaign's time is not quite here yet.
I'm kind of excited that, like, I know it's hard for people to wait, but I have this thing where when I watch like a movie trailer or something, as soon as I know I want to watch that, I stop. I'm like, all right, I don't want to know anymore. And I'm excited for people to kind of experience this campaign fresh. We are going to show stuff very soon. I'm heads down on multiplayer. I come up for air to see campaign every so often and try and help where I can with that. But seeing some of the assets that we have that we're getting ready for you guys, like I was sending Taylor and Jacob messages saying that while I was watching that asset, I was like, I had tears in my eyes. I was breathing heavy. I was so happy with like where Price was at. He felt both relatable and the Price remembered yet modern. And I'm really excited for everyone. And when the time is right, they're going to be really happy.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what everyone thinks.
You guys may see it. Yeah, you know? we do. We can't wait. Don't confuse us being silent on that front with that things are delayed or behind or whatever. Like I said earlier, this is the most sane, organized production I've ever been a part of in my entire career. And we have, we have some cool stuff to share. Yeah. It's just hang out a little bit longer.
Just a little bit.
It'll be worth the wait.
All right. And we'll get back to that beta that you mentioned in a few questions here, but sticking with the single player campaign, will there be a single player demo? We haven't seen a single player demo in ages for a Call of Duty game. That comes from Horrorland01 on YouTube.
Single player demo.
I think maybe like a level play.
Yeah, no, kind of thing, I know. Yeah. Like I don't believe that's in the cards for, because again, we're doing an alpha, we're doing a beta.
Yeah.
Joe can talk obviously a lot more about that. I mean, we're going to have cross play in Call of Duty for the first time ever.
Yeah.
We don't want to spoil the entire game before you get your hands on it. No single player demo, but we'll show you some gameplay and we'll show you a big chunk of kind of the setup of the story real soon.
Yeah.
All right. And F1 Bobby on Twitter wants to know if there will be famous actors or other guest stars like in Infinite Warfare.
Well, you're just going to have to wait and find out. Yeah. I'll even tease this a little bit further. Okay. Everyone knows that Captain Price is in the game.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the only returning character from the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I caution everyone to not go in thinking that everyone's going to look exactly like or sound exactly like maybe their memories of those characters or their experiences of playing with those characters before. But think of it like a Bond movie. You know, when they rebooted the Bond franchise with Daniel Craig, they're still a Moneypenny, they're still Q, but they're portrayed by different characters and they're a different take. They're portrayed by different actors and they're a different take on those characters. And the same thing sort of holds true for us. So stay tuned.
And something that probably will fit in this same stay tuned camp, William R. Hunt in the GI comments wants to know if Soap is returning to the campaign. And if so, is he Scottish?
No comment.
Ashen Bloke Gaming on YouTube said, regarding the rebooted version of Captain Price, what sort of traits did you want to keep for his latest iteration, and from where did you take inspiration from the original trilogy?
Well, again, we are all fans of this of the original trilogy. I remember playing Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare in 2007, and I was I had a little spare time at work because we had just gone gold with Uncharted Drake's Fortune literally at the same moment, and I was playing Crew Expendable, the cargo ship level, and I had to pause it towards during that escape, and I just was thinking to myself, like, this is insane. Like, these guys at Infinity Ward are magicians. This is some next level set piece stuff. And as you saw in Uncharted 2 and Uncharted 3, we sort of took that challenge to heart and we kind of upped our set piece game as well because we wanted to frankly keep up with the guys at Infinity Ward. So we've been fans of the original trilogy for a very long time, all of us, whether we worked on these games or not. And there's a lot of people that have come back to the studio that have worked on those original games. And that's been really cool, having this infusion of the old guard and some guys that maybe have some storytelling and narrative chops from being at a different studio. And all of it coming together makes for a really cool Modern Warfare stew, let's just say.
Yeah.
It's been cool. For Price, there was talk about, hey, we should cast a guy as Price who looks exactly like the old Price, who sounds like him. And we did look at some actors that met those criteria. But for me, the important thing was, does the actor playing as Price, does he feel like Price? It's not about an exact one-to-one look-alike or a sound-alike. It's, does this guy exude the characteristics of the Price that we know and we love? And those would be things like, he doesn't play by the rules. He can get stuff done by kind of reading from the back of the page of the rule book. He's roguish. He's uncompromising. He's a man that all men want to be and all women want to be with, or something of that nature. And he's just a cool dude. And with Barry Sloan, we found that guy. And we knew, actually, the day we auditioned him, the moment we had him on the stage, I was thinking, oh my God, this is the guy. And but I knew that I had to like run it by everybody back at the studio and get everyone's buy-in, because again, it's a team effort. But I did a little sneaky thing that I thought would maybe give him a leg up. And we had him record some voiceover that we were working on, that voiceover that you saw in the reveal trailer. Mm. We had a version of that voiceover. And when we audition our characters, we don't tell them that they're coming in to audition for Modern Warfare, because we got to keep things under wraps. Mm-hmm. We also don't tell them what character they're reading as. And I think that when we auditioned Barry to play Price, he was auditioning to play a guy named Major Jason Walker. And he was, and it was a codenamed project and all that stuff. But he was so awesome. And I knew that we were working on the voiceover for the for an asset that kind of mutated into the reveal trailer.
Yeah.
So I crossed out Jason Walker and I said, you know, and it's under my command, Captain John Price. And as I crossed that out and Barry was reading my little chicken scratch, he went like, oh, well, that's a name drop. And so the cat was out of the bag in the moment, and he nailed it, and he's been nailing it ever since. And we're really, really lucky to have him.
That's awesome.
That's a great story.
Yeah, it's a really cool story.
And keeping with Price is, and again, I don't want to get too into spoiler territory, but will he say, watch your corners?
He will.
Oh, man. Breaking
news. But the difference
news.
Is, in this game, you really need to. You know, we talk about working with our Navy SEAL consultants and our SBS consultants and those kinds of things. And the difference is, maybe in the old games, he said it for flavor, but you didn't really have to do it. In this game, you better check your corners or you're going to get lit up.
Stay frosty.
Yeah, stay frosty.
And that came from Agent Norman Jaden FBI on YouTube. And so this next one comes from JD in the GI comments. Are there going to be Intel cheats in the campaign like COD 4?
No.
Okay. Deathstalker in the GI comment says, how long does it take to finish the campaign for an average player?
The thing that we keep saying, because again, it varies greatly, is the length of this campaign is exactly in line with the lengths of what you would expect in a contemporary Call of Duty campaign.
Yeah.
All right. Catholic Priest on YouTube. He asks, how much Spec Ops content is there going to be?
Oh, we can't.
Lots.
Lots. Yeah, we can't talk about Spec Ops right now. It's going to be a new twist on Spec Ops for sure.
It's so cool. Like, what's great about Spec Ops is Joe and I are both, you know, keeping an eye on it and involved in some ways, but not directly working on it every day. So we can be fans.
Yeah.
And it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It's some of the most fun I have playing is getting to play Spec Ops here at the office.
Great. Leo Shads in the GI comments says, the story of this new Modern Warfare, is it a remake and will disregard everything that happened in the old trilogy? Will the new Modern Warfare reuse missions from the old trilogy, or are they all new missions?
They are all new missions. And what I will say about this reimagining of Modern Warfare is that we are keeping true to the spirit of the original trilogy, but we are not keeping abiding by the specific events of the original trilogy. Mm.
All right. And Spazzy Bunny in the GI comments, is the whole game, both campaign and multiplayer, going to water down any controversial and or graphic content that some people had pointed out during the E3 conference and from interviews from other sites?
No.
Hippo Hobo Dude in the GI comments, will there be split screen for single player, multiplayer, or Spec Ops?
Multiplayer for sure. I can't comment on the other ones right now, but yeah, multiplayer.
No split screen in campaign.
Yeah.
In campaign is a totally single player experience.
Yeah.
All right. And Osne Roll in the GI comments says, well, I believe this has been asked somewhere before, but will it have a battle royale mode?
I mean, our answer to this is we love battle royale, but yeah. Right now, I mean, our big new thing is ground war, right?
Campaign.
Four players. Yeah.
Multiplayer. Spec ops.
And multiplayer has 2v2, ground war, core multiplayer.
It won't fit in the box.
Yeah, yeah.
How much do you want?
And another question from Osne Roll in the GI comments. Do you have any plans for sequels? Any chance this might be the start of a new trilogy? Let us know.
It's early for that. I mean, it's something that's always on our mind.
It's open.
Yeah.
It's open.
It's hard to think about that right now.
We've not written ourselves into a corner, put it that way.
Yeah. All right. John Cool in the GI comments checking in saying, will there be more kill streaks than they showed in the gameplay reveal?
Yeah, the gameplay reveal didn't have everything. I believe in the beta, everything will be visible. Maybe two will be missing. You'll be able to see them all, but they won't be all available for use.
And we're going to keep going down this multiplayer path now. So Connor Lelef in the GI comments, will ranked play be available at launch?
I don't know about that one. That's something that is really important to us and we're working on. But as we're finishing up the game, we're figuring out what's on and what's not. We have a pretty aggressive live post-launch plan.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a bunch of pieces we can play with, but we don't know what's going to be on yet.
Gotcha. Mike in the GI comments, what can we expect from competitive mode this year? Different game modes?
We've put a big focus on... you're talking about esports specifically?
Yes. At least I believe so.
We support the standard modes, the hardpoint, S&D, and the like, and we're figuring out that. We're working closely with the esports guys, with the new teams, all that stuff, to figure that out. But we haven't nailed it down. We've had the teams in to play. We've had kind of like our first or second round of feedback, and we're working with them on figuring that out.
Mm. And Omerta in the GI comments had a question that a lot of people had. Will there be a survival mode like the one in Modern Warfare 3?
We can't. No answer on that right now. Spec Ops is kind of... Yeah, we don't have the details on Spec Ops right now. Sorry.
Yeah, Spec Ops, so like we said earlier, the sort of the way we explain what's in the game to our players, we haven't even really... All we told people is that Spec Ops is in the game, and it's going to have its own sort of... time to be focused on, and we'll talk way more about that then.
Yeah, we don't want to steal that thunder.
Sure. Bankai Badass in the GI comments. I know there's a realistic mode, but is there a full-on hardcore mode? And if there is, will it be Ricochet? And will every game mode be available to play hardcore? A lot to digest there.
There is a lot to digest there. We still support hardcore. We're still figuring out exactly how all of that stuff rolls out. We have a cool new way... that I think we'll have on in the beta for how you'll be able to choose what modes you're playing and whether or not they'll be in hardcore or not. But something we're trying to figure out, I mean, you guys have seen realism mode.
Mm-hmm.
I've shown that at a couple events now, and we're figuring out where those two line up. Like, honestly, like there's things that they share. Hardcore has a reduced HUD and a different health signature of 30 life, where realism mode has almost no HUD at all and no hit markers, but has the same health, but headshot damage increased. So we play with both. We try them. We try them across all of our modes, but we haven't landed exactly where that's going to be. I mean, it could be that hardcore is the standard mode and realism is this eventized thing that we're turning on occasionally. As far as how we handle damage, I believe in the past we've done Ricochet as kind of our core. We don't really like to kick people from matches because then you just end up with an unbalanced match because someone's being a jerk, or maybe they do it by accident a couple times and now we're like, no, we have to punish you. Let's throw you out. And now the rest of the match is worse for everyone else. So, we'll have all that ironed out for launch.
Great. Nathan N on YouTube. How often do you plan on releasing new content?
I don't think I can say specifics. The way we've built, though, all of our modes and everything is we've every time we put a feature in, one of our guys, David Mickner, does all of our game mode stuff. And whenever he puts a feature in, he puts it in a way that we can just flip it on for other modes. And so we have all these modifiers, you could call them mutators, for modes. So we plan on post-launch rolling new modes. We've talked about the tournament system for the gunfight mode, and we're still working on that, testing that internally. And that's another kind of mutator on the gunfight where you go in, and I think there's 16 teams, so 32 players all fighting to be the best. And we've had some really fun, really sweaty matches with that stuff. So we will be updating the game very often.
More than ever.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to, more than ever, more than we've ever done before. But I can't say, like, you know, every Tuesday this happens. Like, we haven't rolled out that schedule yet.
Sure.
Sure.
Eben Warner on Twitter, will there be more than 10 prestige levels in multiplayer, or will it be similar to Infinite Warfare where we get 10 at launch and then 20 more later?
All I can say is that we have kind of a bit of a twist on what happens when you reach max level. We're not going to talk about specifics yet on what that is. But we do have a plan there, and it'll change up post-launch.
And Joe, you mentioned the gunfight tournaments. Chivo Hunt in the GI comments wants to know if winning gunfight tournaments gives the player a reward, such as a calling card or camos or something else.
We are definitely looking at, we're actually working on it now, a reward structure for those tournaments. One of the things that's really important to us is we want to get players into these tournaments. We want them to have fun. Some players, you know, they hear the word tournament, they're like, oh, that's too competitive. That's not for me. And we don't want that. We want people to get in and try this, because the more players that are getting in there, the more healthy the matches are going to be. So we are looking at giving players rewards for that. And something else we're looking at is not just in the tournament structure, but in the gunfight mode in general, win streak tracking, because we were actually getting feedback from the alpha that players are like, well, I'm in here, and I'm winning. I'm on my third win in a row, but I'm not really getting that gratification. And so that was a cool thing. And we're like, yeah, we should totally do that. Let's investigate that. And then the other thing, obviously, right now, you weren't progressing in the alpha. So when you're playing gunfight, you're going to be ranking up weapons and ranking up your soldier and that thing. Right.
Great. And sticking with gunfight, Keon Edmonds in the GI comments wants to know, how many maps will gunfight launch with?
I don't know if we have the final number. What do we show so far? Five? I know we have a couple more that are waiting, that are secret, but we also have plans to add more regularly post-launch. Like, Gunfight has been this huge passion project, this game. It was Dave Michter and Brian Baker, were two guys on our team that kind of started it on their own in their free time, and then it just caught fire. People were playing it. We had to tell people to stop playing it so they could work on other parts of the game, and it's something we plan on supporting, and it's one of those things where we were like, okay, is it going to translate well online? It works really well in this couch co-op scenario, like everyone's cheering and hooting and hollering, but like, it's been amazing to see it kind of like go out to events, you know, go out to the NFL draft, go out to this college team over here, go out to our reveal, go out, and it just keeps hitting, and in the alpha, people had so much fun in the alpha, so it's, yeah, we think it's something special, and we're going to support it heavily with maps. And you saw on-site procurement, the special version of it that we showed in alpha. We have other versions, and we have other ideas about how to evolve it.
And going down the post-launch route, Hades in the GI comments wants to know if there are going to be additional weapons added to the game post-launch.
We definitely will add weapons post-launch. We want to. We have the new gunsmith system, right? And weapons have 30 to 60 attachments on them. It's pretty crazy, and players just get lost in there just making cool versions of weapons. Mm-hmm. And we want to keep that going. And when we think about like what guns we want to add to the game post-launch, the first question we ask is like, can we gunsmith them? Like, how much cool stuff can we make out of this weapon before we even decide to put it in there?
And Mazin11 on YouTube wants to know, are there maps from older Modern Warfare games?
Let's see. At launch, I don't believe there are. We've put a big effort on keeping this game fresh, but familiar, right? Like, and we're going back to modern, but we wanted it to be a new game. We didn't want people to say like, oh, that's just a remaster. We wanted to like revisit everything and improve everything. We have looked at some of the maps from the previous games. One of the cool things that Jeff Smith has done when like he's been looking at those is he'll take a map that he made, say, in like COD 4, and he'll be like, you know what? I there were things I wanted to do better in this map. And, you know, he has that kind of like experience with it. He's like, this was a problem. I'm going to fix this. And we have these new mechanics in there, so I'm going to change this. And so not at launch, but like just talking with him and seeing where his head's at, like it's kind of cool to imagine like maps coming back, but being improved, right? From the original creator or artist.
Yeah, I think that's something that Jeff talked about to us with our trip out there, was just like, he came back and he's like, I want to right these wrongs.
Yeah.
So going to Ground War, Mahmoud Sheikh in the GI comments, is there a number of players confirmed yet? How many maps are made for this mode? Is it more than one? And when will we see gameplay of this mode? Will it be playable in the beta? Lots to go there. We can go one by one if you want. Number of players, is it confirmed yet?
We'll go one by one. So what was the first one?
Number of players confirmed yet?
We're still aiming for, well, the main map we're focusing on for it right now is more around the 64 players. Mm-hmm. We've tried, and we've talked about this, we've tried upwards of 100. Mm-hmm. Interesting thing about that is, depending on the type of, you know, if you're building an objective mode, if you hit a point of too many players, then objectives get entrenched and you just can't get them off of it. And so number of objectives, amount of space kind of like dictates how many players you want to have in that. So the stuff we've been testing right now, like 45 to 64 players is like kind of like a sweet spot for that, for the number of flags we have and the number of vehicles and all that stuff. But we are pushing. We have another version, like another map that's bigger, more dense, more vertical. And that one is the one where like, okay, maybe this is the 100 map.
Mm. And the next part of that question was, how many maps are made for this mode?
I'm not going to give a specific number for launch because they're like, you know, we have these, you know, 2v2 maps, and we have these core maps that range from mid-size to very large, and then these ground war maps are just massive, you know, like 3-4 times the size of like our biggest maps before. So we're still hammering on those and finishing those out, so I don't have an exact number. But we want to have a variety at launch. You don't want to just play, you know, one map in ground war.
Sure. And when will we see gameplay of this mode?
When will you see gameplay? Let's see. Yeah, soon. Very soon. Can I just say that? Very soon?
Sure. And will it be playable in the beta?
Yes.
All right.
Well, that's soon.
Yeah, that's soon.
There we go. So that can connect some dots there, I guess.
Yeah.
Chase Halverson in the GI comments, were there any crazy multiplayer modes you guys tested that didn't make it into the final game?
I don't know about crazy. I mean, we talked about Combat Outpost, which was a mode we had designed, and we had a map designed for it, and it was kind of like a linear tug of war, pushing teams forward and back, had a bomb plant at the end. It felt really good. It was kind of like a frontline experience, tug of war frontline experience, but it was too geo dependent. We call geo like level design dependent.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the things we tried, honestly, they end up as custom options in game modes, right? Like there's things we've tried that we're like, oh, that doesn't work here, but let's pull that out. Like we had a variant of Last Stand in the game at one point for a field upgrade that let you, if you went down, people could pick you up. Or if your field upgrade was ready, you could pop it and heal yourself and get yourself back up. And that took time. And we ended up cutting that. But we took that feature of, Last Stand and the polish that we did for that, and we brought it as a custom game mode option. So we can do a cool thing where we run like gunfight with Last Stand on, so you can pick up your teammates and have a little bit more back and forth in that mode. I'd have to think and see if there's any other modes that just didn't make it. I don't want to talk about them because some of them, basically, you get them to 80%, you're like, you know what, let's finish this for post-launch. So you want to save that surprise.
Sure. SFL Videos on YouTube says, Black Ops 4 was pretty much you destroying another team or being destroyed by another team. Is the balanced matchmaking a priority for Modern Warfare?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, one of the things we really want to do with this game is we want to get new players in the game, and we want them to kind of like, we don't want them to just get punched in the mouth over and over again until they leave. We want a healthy ecosystem. We want a lot of players in and having fun, and that's a big focus for us. It's a big focus for us in weapon design. It's a big focus for us in level design. Our weapons are a bit more lethal than they were in the Black Ops, the recent more Black Ops, and that helps a lower skilled player get a kill when they otherwise wouldn't, have some success, and then feel like now there's a desire to get better and to get another kill. Our maps are a little bit more porous, and you know, we want those players to have a safe place to take their time, to learn how to turn and move and then shoot, put those pieces together, and then they see someone and be like, oh, okay, now I can do this. So yeah, it's a big focus for us.
But that that approach that you're describing there isn't going to come at the expense of the hardcore players, right?
That's not the plan, right? But mm-hmm. we want to make sure that we don't want someone who's, how to say this, lower skill to have a bad experience. We want someone who's higher skill to have a bad experience. And so we have to make choices in how we matchmake for that. And that's something that we put more focus on this game than we have in other games.
Mm.
You know, because I think when you're at the extremes where hardcore players are just playing against other hardcore players, you know, it's a little bit too sweaty and they're not having fun. And if your lower skill players or even your just new players who just haven't had the chance to get better because Call of Duty has been a thing for so many years and players have gotten so good at it.
Mm-hmm.
If they're just getting beat up and knocked out instantly, then your community never gets to grow, never gets to expand, never gets to improve, and it eats itself. So, yeah, it's a focus for us.
Sure. And Sukman Brar on YouTube says, what happens to the Tamagotchi after getting on a really big kill streak? Any hint to its biggest evolution, please?
I don't have any hints. That's something we're working on right now. We have these custom watches, and some are more standard watches, and some go all the way up to the Joel Emsley coined Tamagotchi. But you have to play the game to find out.
All right, and keeping with the customization options, Motley Cringe in the GI comments says, "Will the default character be customizable?"
So the default character is not customizable. He or she basically is based off the weapon you choose. So that changes your look. So it's a throwback kind of like to how the characters worked in COD 4 and MW2. And there's some camo application as well, depending on the map you're going to. And so they behave almost exactly like the old factions, where then you unlock your first, your second, your third operator, and then you get to graduate to those.
Can you choose things like, for the default character, choose like skin tone or gender, or are those also tied to the weapons?
I think they're pretty random right now. They're okay. Tied to the weapons. All that, like, I don't think gender's tied to the weapons. I think that's random, but the gun dictates what packs are on the character and that sort of thing.
Okay.
But if you really want control of it, then you choose your operator.
Great. Blake in the GI comments says, I'm excited for this Call of Duty. However, sure. I'm always put off by things like unicorn assault rifles and shotguns with beatbox attached, silly outfits, etc. Can we expect a more serious approach to the customization and nothing too silly?
Yes. So it's interesting. It's a big focus of ours to make sure that our game is tonally consistent. Yet we want to have really cool content for users. So one of the approaches I heard the weapon artists talking about, and Joel included with this, is they look at kind of like real world examples of how someone might customize their weapon. And some people do kind of like off the wall stuff. They don't necessarily put airplane wings or things like that on their gun, but they might paint the weapon in like a purple color, but the materials have to look real and it has to look gritty and it has to look worn and used and that sort of thing. And so I think in general, our content that we create is always going to be tonally correct, but we'll have a couple little outlier things that like, hey, this is realistic. This is something someone would could or even did do.
Mm-hmm.
So our answer, yes, we're gonna push really hard on that.
Great. I know a lot of people will be that was actually one of the most asked questions in all of our sites. So I'm sure they'll appreciate that answer. Gummy Zombie Gaming, he's getting down to it. Are you ready? He says, "Let's be real. There are going to be loot boxes in this game, isn't there?"
We can't really comment on MTX or the Earth systems for that. Like right now, it's all beta, and then launch the game. All I can say is that we're pushing really hard to create a player first or player forward system. It's something that's really important to us on the development side. We want when we release new content for players to get access to that content and have fun with it. And so it's a huge focus for us. We want players enjoying our game, having fun in our game. We've also made a kind of big push for things like camos. Camos in our game are meant to be status symbols. So outside of a couple of promotional things, those like camos are, you get them by playing with the weapon, doing challenges as a weapon. And then when you see someone who has that badass camo, you know, like, well, like, that person put in some work. So it's that's how we're looking at the system.
Sure. And since you can't really talk about the microtransactions, we'll get to Oscar the Q-Man on YouTube. He says, how will the unlock system work for everything, like attachments, weapons, cosmetic stuff?
Let's see. So weapons unlock traditional Call of Duty through rank. Attachments also, the weapon ranks up, and so the attachments unlock there. We played with a bunch of different ideas about how, you know, do we gate certain attachments behind challenges in the gunsmith system. I forget what other iterations we had. We had some branching things where you were choosing what attachment you wanted at what point. But you don't have a lot of time between matches. You're 30 seconds in, you're out. And we have this breadth of content that is massive for these guns. Mm-hmm. And so we've gone to a system that's, it's pretty standard. The every level you're unlocking attachments. And then this won't be in the beta, but each attachment has kind of a bubble. Certain attachments have bubbles of XP and little soft challenges to go use that content and get that extra XP burst. And the goal there is that we're pushing players into trying the different attachments in a soft way. And then when you get to the next gun, it unlocks its content in a different order with different attachments having XP bubbles on them. And so that's kind of how the weapon system works.
Wow.
Oh,
it's a lot. So Michael Lacey in the GI comments, can you tell us what modes will be available in the beta? The gameplay felt solid when I played the alpha, but gunfight wasn't my thing.
Can't talk exactly specifics. I can say that the beta content will be fairly similar to the reveal content, with the exception of the ground war, right? In the reveal, we showed Anya at 20v20. In this beta, we're going to push the number and the size up much more.
All right. And Torvik in the GI comments also wants to know about the beta, which you're probably going to say a no comment on this, but will the beta have hardcore mode?
Yeah, no comment at this time. We're still figuring that out, like exactly what the things that are going to be turned on and turned off for it.
All right, now we're going to get down to it with a very, very highly requested topic, which is crossplay.
Yeah.
So Robian Hoyer in the GI comments, is there aim assist for controllers on PC, and how is that going to be handled?
There is aim assist for controllers on PC. I'm not exactly sure what he means by how is that going to be handled. It's something where when we look at, you know, players coming in and having a good experience in our game, if you're a controller type player and you want to play with your friends on PC or you're on PC, but that's your way to play, like mm-hmm. we want you to have success. And it's different. A mouse has the advantage of kind of direct input. You know, you can get really good. There's a skill ceiling that you can reach with a mouse that's really, really, really high.
Mm-hmm.
And with a controller, you need a little bit of help. Playing controller without any aim assist is pretty poor and extremely difficult and somewhat unfair to someone on a mouse. So I think it's kind of striking that balance. With crossplay, we're doing peripheral matchmaking mm-hmm. for sure at launch. I know in the alpha and the beta, we're trying things. We want to collect stats and see how, you know, different control schemes are working playing against each other. But at launch, we're going to let you say what you want to match against. So if you're a PC player and you're just like it, the worst thing in the world for you to play against someone with a gamepad with aim assist, we'll let you turn that off.
Well, that goes right to God Tier Macho in the GI comments. Can console players who use a controller opt out of playing against PC players who are using a controller?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know if we've actually handled that, because it would be pretty much the same experience, right? The only thing mm-hmm. you might get is some FOV differences there. I would have to check with Paul Hale on that and see. I'm pretty sure that's an option we can add if that is a problem for players, you know.
And
I think you may be able to opt out by platform, but I have to follow up on that. Sorry.
Sure. Yeah. No worries.
This is all a new frontier.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are really going for it with the crossplay stuff this game. So drilling further into the weeds here, Michael Bug in the GI comments, how are you going to be match made if you're playing on mouse and keyboard with a friend who's playing on controller?
I think you'll have to play with, you can opt in to play, with different groups. I believe that the controller, you'll have to say, I'm okay playing with mouse and keyboard, that style. Again, these are things we're still figuring out, but I think the rule is that players should be able to opt out when they want to. And the players that don't opt out, you'll be able to play with that pool. But that's our goal, right? We want you to, if you have a friend who plays on PC with a mouse and you have a gamepad, that if you guys really want to play together, you can.
And I'm going to paraphrase this next question. Galaxy Giggles in the GI comments is concerned about keyboard and mouse players kind of circumventing the system that prevents the peripheral matchmaking by using like a third-party peripheral that makes it, the Xbox or the PS4 read as a controller. Is there any measure that you can take to prevent that?
I mean, that's something we've looked at that. I don't have an answer for that exactly, but I know that's on. I've brought that up with engineering, and we've talked about it. And in this crossplay world, that's something you have to deal with. So we're looking at that.
Rukau in the GI comments: will the game have cross leveling? I may buy the game for PC and PS4, but I don't want to start all over again.
So that's something we've worked on, but we don't know 100% how it's going to launch. Right? Mm-hmm. We think that's an important feature, but we haven't nailed down exactly if we're going to have that.
Sure. Helder Morea in the GI comments: if I want to party with a friend on another platform, how does that work? Is there like a code or something that you get in your game?
Right now, we have different drop-down lists. When you go in, you can actually see and search for friends and add them. I believe on Battle.net, you have your ID, and you can use that. But our interface is built right now, like, on console, you probably saw it in the alpha, you have like chat. You can hit the touchpad and bring up chat. And when you go to your friends list, you see the two lists broken down or three of, and you can search there and find people.
So if I'm on like PS4, for example, and I want to search for my friend list, would I be synced up with Battle.net and I would find my PC player?
Actually, you know what it is? I'm sorry about this. I think it's the Call of Duty. We have a central Call of Duty players login, and they're like, this is my account, and you link them and then you search by that. That's what it is. Sorry about that.
All right, no worries. All right, so we're getting down to the end here. Sorry, guys, it's taking a long time here.
All right.
Trench Mace in the GI comments: the guns in the new Modern Warfare are far and away more authentic than, say, other games. What was the process to translate these real-life weapons into the game? I know developers use at least some real weapons fire for sound effects, but did you test each of the weapons in the game in real life first?
Not every weapon, but we did fire a good number. Taylor and I actually did a pistol training course, which was pretty intimidating and very, very interesting. There's a lot of different ways we went about that. I know audio, when they go shoot a weapon, they point, I forget how many, it's some absurd number, like 60 microphones or something at the gun. And then when they fire it, they're capturing. They'll capture the fire sound of the gun, but they'll also capture the re-rack of the gun, the trigger release sound. Like, they're so, I don't know what the right word is for, like, so meticulous and detail-oriented with that, where every gun feels like it should, given its weight, given its how it fires. Some of our LMGs are open bolt, and so if you notice in kill cams, when that gun goes to fire in slow motion, you actually hear the bolt slide, and then you hear it hit. And because that's how the weapon actually fires, so there's actually a subtle delay to the firing mechanism.
And the sounds change depending on whether you're ADSing or you're not ADSing. Obviously, the environmental sounds change. If I'm in a place that's a lot of reverb or very, very reflective audio-wise, that changes it. Yeah, it's amazing. You can hear the casing eject.
Yeah.
You can hear the casing bounce around against the environment wherever you are.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the however many microphones were recording them from different distances and different directions, that they all have a way of, in 3D audio space, putting them together, which reproduces what it sounds like, you know, in the real world.
Yeah. And then we shot guns. We took video reference of them from, you know, first person, from watching the person fire from the side, so we could get muzzle flashes correct. I saw videos or screen captures of our 50 cal pistol. When it was firing, it creates a halo just like it does in real life. There's just so much detail around all of this stuff. And our studio creative director, Pat Kelly, pushed us really hard to take everything that we felt and saw when we fired a real weapon and to put it on the screen. And there's certain, you know, senses that you don't have available to you for that. But like the way the gun moves back forward, the way our character actually, like, when you fire a gun, the gun moves back, your view moves up, and your view can actually move independent of the weapon. And it's all to create that kind of feel when you fire a weapon, where your body's reacting and everything's kind of like attached and moving and hinging, that's the Desert Eagle actually pushes your view down and the pistol down and everything. And so it's, I think that's one of our designers, Cody Pearson, like, this has been one of his main things for 2+ years now. It's just like taking that detail from the real world and putting it into the game. And that's why our guns feel so rich, powerful, realistic.
Yeah, it's animation. You know, it's the sound.
Yep.
It's the materials.
Yeah.
We have like a scanning station here at work where different types of metals that have different types of oil, respond to light in different ways. It's the whole, it's really truly, like we said earlier, it's a collaborative process. And so the weapon feel is not any one thing. It's the culmination of all of these different disciplines working together and it works.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a very in-depth answer. And I really appreciate that. And I'm sure Trench Mace appreciated it as well. So shifting gears completely, you talked about FOV being a little bit different on PC. Tanner in the GI comments wants to know if there's going to be an FOV slider on console.
So right now our answer for that is no, but I'll say that we're looking into it, right? One of the things that we talked about was whether or not the difficulty with that is when you do apply that, there's an inherent performance loss. The wider your FOV, the more polygons you're rendering, the harder it is to have the frame rate be kept up. But we've talked about players being okay with that, and so it's something that we're exploring. No promises.
And something that might help out with rendering all those polygons on console comes from Zach Kahn on YouTube. Will the game be re-released on next-gen consoles late 2020?
I can't even see December from where I'm sitting. That's way too, that's way too far. Yeah.
Sukman Brar on YouTube says, what do you define as a wall a bullet can shoot through with or without high caliber?
That's actually something we're still tuning. We've gone through different iterations where sometimes we have low caliber rounds just stopping, and all of our weapons have a realistic caliber. You actually see that in the HUD when you pick up the weapon. It'll say like 9mm, 5.56, 7.62, that sort of thing. And we're either going to ship with like things blocking and high caliber kind of like pushing through a full metal jacket, or letting it through and doing a very low amount of damage. So you're getting really good damage feedback about where a player is, but having the high caliber really deal the damage. And so that's honestly, that's something that we're iterating on right now and figuring out as we play test the maps and see what works.
Austin Feldman on Twitter, I think, has something that a lot of people have a concern about. How will this game run on the original Slim PS4, original or Slim PS4?
I mean, we test on, you were here, you saw our bullpen of the amount of different consoles and things we have set up, and everything's pretty crazy. And we're simultaneously testing everything on all the different platforms. And so it should run really well.
Yeah, that's been a really interesting part of this development, is that we've never really, we've alternated what our lead platform is at any one given moment in development.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, there is no sort of second class citizen here. When we do these internal green light milestones, we alternate what platform we're on, and it frankly keeps us honest, and it keeps parity across all of them.
Yeah, I mean, when we test Ground War, we have, people on various consoles and PC all playing together. So crossplay gives us that kind of like, we're not just running a regular PlayStation 4 test, or we're just running a big test.
Yep.
And if I can follow up on that a little bit, do you know yet what enhancements Xbox One X and PS4 Pro will have?
I'm not the one to talk to that, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I can't tell you exactly what's different besides 4K and not 4K.
Sure. Legit Banana Man on Twitter. Is there going to be weapon inspection in this game?
Right now we don't have weapon inspection. It is something that we think would be really, really cool for Gunsmith. So it's not off the table for post-launch, but right now it's not something we have. We have so many features in the game that the controller just is running out of running out of buttons.
And final question coming in from Emo Cheesecake on Twitter. What was the developer's favorite thing to work on in the game?
Oh, you want to go first or second?
I'll go. Let me think about that.
Okay.
You got something?
Oh, my favorite thing to work on. So there's a difference between like favorite. So technically, when we play the game, that's technically work, right? So I have my favorite things, like when I'm testing and playing the game and iterating on something. And for me, I think Gunfight was that. Gunfight was that thing of like whenever we would sit down to play it for a playtest for an hour, it would end up turning into 2 hours if we didn't have a meeting afterwards, and I'd have to be like, all right, we have to stop. And just the different, we could iterate so quickly. A builder would crank out a map the day before, or two maps, and we'd be like, all right, let's try them. And we'd have like three or four, we'd go through them, we'd iterate, and then like that afternoon, we're playing them again. So I think Gunfight was the most fun to test, to give feedback on, and to iterate on. For me, I spent a lot of time working on the night vision gameplay. Mm-hmm. And I think the interest that came from partly from the SP and from the tier one operators, where they talked about how they use their NVGs with an infrared laser to help aim their weapon, but they can't quite bring it up to their eye unless they have raised optics. And so that bled right into the campaign and right into multiplayer. And we kind of developed this cat and mouse thing where we've already talked about this, but where players can see where other players are when they ADS because they mm-hmm. turn on their laser to aim. And our creative director pushed us really hard to try really, really dark maps. And in the end, that was what was really fun, having most players in NVGs, having these lasers dancing around, sneaking through these dark areas, and then combining that with the realism mode and having Call of Duty just feel like it, you know, it's one thing to go from Gunfight to Ground War in a different scale, but you're still kind of playing Call of Duty, just playing this super intimate gunfight and then this big war, Ground War. But the NVG gameplay was almost horror-like and intense, and with realism, not knowing if you took the guy out or not, it just made the game feel like a different game. Like mm-hmm. I was like, I'm not even playing the same game right now. And I think that was really, really fun to play around with and to figure out and to see people's reactions to it when we showed it at the journalist event for E3 and at the reveal event. Certain players were like, that's not for me. I prefer running gun. I want clear picture. And then other players were like, this is like nothing I've played before. This is just my new favorite thing. I just want to be here, hide in a corner in the dark and move quietly and have that kind of like that different experience.
Yeah. And I think that's probably the thing that stuck with me the most from my gameplay session when I was at Infinity Ward was the realism mode with the NVGs and like just having to kind of be conscious about when you're going ADS so that way your laser doesn't come up. And it's intense to say the least, especially on a dark map like that.
Cool. And another thing that we got from our military consultants, we actually went out in the night with real NVGs with those guys. They showed us how they use them, the properties of them. And then our engineering team, our rendering team, reverse engineered actual working NVGs. And that's what you see in the game. Mm-hmm. You know, in most games, an NVG is just a filter that you put on top of a thing to approximate the look. Yeah. But in our game, the NVGs actually really work.
And that's new for this game, right?
That we're rendering not just the visible light of spectrum, we're rendering kind of like the entire spectrum wave, even the invisible waves. And when you put those NVGs on, that's when you can see into the invisible waves. And so the fact, I think you can actually feel that they're actually really, really functioning NVGs. Mm-hmm. It's not just a gimmick, so to speak.
Yeah.
And that's been really cool. And that kind of like leads to my favorite thing, which was the townhouse mission that we have that I think you saw.
Mm-hmm.
That players are going to get to see soon, where the NVGs are kind of front and center, but also not only the tactical kind of pros and cons of using NVGs that we got from our consultants, but the way that the tier one operators move and clear rooms. You know, we had the SEALs here in the office showing us how to breach and clear rooms, and we, again, to get this level of realism, we talked about with them about how do you breach into a room. And you know, we all had in our minds, like, you know, you put a charge in the door and you kick the door in and you just like shock and awe into a room. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, we don't do that. Like, that's dangerous. Why would we do that? Why would we kind of not have fire superiority? And so it showed us how they clear a room. And they talk about pieing the corner. Basically, you're using geometry against your enemy. So you only have the barrel of the weapon, sort of the muzzle of the weapon into the room so that you're being protected by the door frame or by the wall or whatever. Mm. And watching them do that is what gave us our mount mechanic mm-hmm. in the game.
Yeah.
So you can mount on vertical and horizontal surfaces in the game. And we got that directly from our consultants. They sort of have the weapon up like this, and they sort of pivot around the door frame like a pool cue. And we were like, that is so cool. And so we brought it into the game. It's present in the campaign in SP and in Spec Ops and in MP. And so kind of creating a new way of playing, of the NVGs, mounting, moving in through tight one-to-one spaces like a combat operator does in the real world. To me, that was really kind of rewarding to kind of bring that level of authenticity and realism into this game.
Mm. And just go back to the NVGs, you were talking about the rendering. That new method for rendering the actual like lighting in the NVGs, that's new for this entry, correct?
Correct. Yeah. It's new in our new engine. We have a brand new rendering pipeline top to bottom. And you can see that it's not sort of BS when you look at some of your friendlies that are moving through a space with you. If you look, and this is a real thing in the world, where they have these infrared patches on their uniforms. And when you flip your NVGs off, even if there's a little bit of light, the infrared patch is completely invisible. And when you flip it on, it's visible, and that's how you can identify friend from foe.
Mm. Wow, yeah, because we recently replayed Modern Warfare Remastered for the Game Informer Game Club. And there's, you know, the NVG sequences in that game. It felt very different from what I was experiencing in realism mode when I was playing at your studio.
Yeah. 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 It's really cool. I mean, the way that we have attacked some of these problems, you know, is to go more and more towards the real world. You know, our rendering engine, you know, it the materials in the game respond to light in a realistic way that real materials do. And then again, with the NVGs, these guys are just wizards. Our engineering team and our rendering teams are just wizards, where they were like, well, what we should just do is render the whole spectrum. And then, you know, when you put the NVGs on, it'll show you the invisible spectrum. And it's like, okay, cool.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. go do that. That's awesome.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for taking so much time out of your day. I know you're kind of getting down to it with development of Modern Warfare. We could not appreciate you more. Is there anything else we need to know about this game? It comes out October 25th on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Anything else to kind of wrap up the conversation?
Just stay tuned. You know, we have the beta coming up next. We're going to be talking about campaign. We're going to be talking about Spec Ops. We're going to, you know, everyone's going to know exactly what they're getting before October 25th comes around. So stay tuned.
Yeah, and we got a lot of feedback from the alpha, and that was just a sliver of multiplayer. So we're really excited for the beta to show off so much more and to get feedback on the other aspects of our game. So yeah.
Awesome.
Hit us up afterwards or during.
Yeah. Sure thing.
Thanks for the feedback.
Great. Taylor, Joe, thank you so much for taking the time, and we will talk to you soon. Have a great rest of your day and a great rest of development.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you so much for joining us for this special episode of the Game Informer Show podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts for regular episodes every single Thursday. And if you like what you heard about Call of Duty and you want to learn more about the development of this game, go to gameinformer.com/modernwarfare. This podcast acts as the end cap of our month of coverage. But don't worry, we'll be back with a whole new cover next month.